The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Reflections. For the next half hour, I'm going to read from you from the Holy Bible. Today, we're going to be studying Isaiah. We also read from a book called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. And as we always do, let's open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious day. This day that you have made, this day that we want to come and serve you and to love you and to give you the glory, praise, and honor you are so deserving of. Father, we thank you for the family you have blessed us with. We thank you for the friends. We thank you for the North Carolina Reading Service. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunities to serve you and to serve others. Please open our eyes, our minds, our souls, to the words that are going to be spoken this day and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for joining today on August 16th. And we'll read from Sarah Young's book, Jesus Calling. And it reads today, "Meet me early in the early morning splendor. I eagerly await you here in the stillness of this holy time with me. I renew your strength and saturate you with peace. While others turn over for extra sleep or anxiously tune in for the latest news, you commune with your Creator, the Creator of the universe. I have awakened in your heart strong desire to know me. This longing originated in me, though it now burns brightly in you. When you seek my face in response to my love call, both of us are blessed. This is a deep mystery designed more for your enjoyment than for your understanding. I am not a dour God who discourages pleasure. I delight in your enjoyment of everything that is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about these things, and my light in you shall be brighter day by day." And we are given three different scriptures that help us understand this writing from Sarah Young. The first is Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Don't you feel that when you have communion with God, when you are in his presence, when you are talking to him, don't you feel that way? Sometimes being soaring like on the wings of eagles and running and not growing weary and walk and not being faint. That is a beautiful scripture, often quoted. Psalm 27, verse 4 says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." You know, we don't need visual sight when we ask for our eyes open, or we don't need visual sight to gaze upon the Lord. That gazing and that opening comes in the heart. Open our hearts is another way to say that, so that we may just feel and anticipate and see through our spirit the love of God. And then Philippians 4:8, and this is a scripture I read every single morning, and this is how I define Jesus, actually. And it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And I read that every single day, or I should say 99% of my days, and true, noble, right, pure, loving, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. I can't think of a better definition of Jesus Christ. Who is more true? Who is more noble? Who is more right? Who is more pure? Who is more lovely? Who is more admirable? Who's more excellent or praiseworthy? It is Jesus, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So we started Isaiah last week, and that last week was the first week of probably the next several that we will be reading from the book of Isaiah. Very excited to do so. Just as a reminder, the purpose of Isaiah is to call the nation of Judah back to God and to tell of God's salvation through a Messiah. So for roughly the first 60% of Isaiah, it carries the message of judgment of sin. If you recall in your history, after King Solomon passed away, Israel became two nations, Israel to the north and Judah to the south, and Isaiah became the prophet of Judah. And so this is mostly for the southern kingdoms of our Israel ancestry. However, let's not be so ignorant to the fact that when Isaiah was speaking, his words spread further than Judah, eight neighboring nations, and certainly into Israel. But again, his purpose, his calling, his ordination from God was to be a prophet to the nation of Judah. The first 60%, again, like I said, is that Isaiah is carrying the message of judgment for sin. And the last 27 chapters is Isaiah bringing a message of forgiveness and comfort and hope. And last week, Isaiah prophesied and warned both Israel and Judah of their upcoming struggles because they had sinned and were going to continue to sin against God. Let us not make that same mistake. Let us heed Isaiah's warnings as we read today in the forthcoming weeks to leave sin, to run from sin, and to run from God. Again, as a reminder, the main message of Isaiah is although judgment from other nations was inevitable, the people of Judah could still have a special relationship with God. And the importance of that is that, and this applies to us today, sometime we must suffer judgment and we must suffer discipline before we are restored to God. Let's not forget that. So last week we got to, we read through chapter 5, verse 24, so we will pick up with verse 25. And it reads, "Therefore the Lord's anger burns against his people. His hand is raised and he strikes them down. The mountains shake and the dead bodies are like refuse in the streets. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. He lifts up a banner for the distant nations. He whistles for those at the ends of the earth. Here they come swiftly and speedily. Not one of them grows tired or stumbles. Not one slumbers or sleeps. Not a belt is loosened at the waist. Not a sandal strap is broken. Their arrows are sharp. All their bows are strung. Their horses' hooves seem like flint. Their chariot wheels like a whirlwind. Their roar is like that of a lion. They roar like young lions. They growl as they seize their prey and carry it off with no one to rescue. In that day they will roar over it like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks at the land, there is only darkness and distress. Even the sun will be darkened by the clouds." Chapter 6. And this is... Chapter 6 is about Isaiah's commission. "So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" So this is Isaiah speaking. "Woe to me," Isaiah cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man. I, Isaiah, am a man of unclean lips, and I, Isaiah, live among the people of unclean lips, and my Isaiah eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then, chapter verse 6, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.' Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Wow. Here's Isaiah. I assume could have been a vision. Maybe there was some supernatural experience that he had. With God, all things are possible. But he was horrified that he saw God on his throne. And he didn't feel himself worthy, and his sin had been atoned for. And then God asks, "Whom shall I send?" And here's Isaiah saying, here am I, send me. I am here today to tell you that God is calling me, he's calling you, each of you, all of us. He wants us. And what are we saying? Are we saying, here am I, Lord, send me? Or are we ignoring him? Or are we just being bold enough to just say, no, Lord, I'm not ready, or I'm not interested, or it's not my time? Really, if you think about it that way, how haunting. How many of us are ready to say, here am I, Lord, send me? Verse 9, he said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving, make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. The meaning there is that God knows how calloused Judah and Israel had become. He understands that Isaiah is probably going to be just speaking to the wind. That Isaiah, his words, are probably meant as much for us today, 2,700 years later, than it was for the people at that time. He knew that they were going to not adhere to Isaiah's words, or I should say the majority of them were not going to adhere to his words. Verse 11, then Isaiah said, for how long, Lord? And the Lord answered, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. So that 10% in verse 13, and though a tenth remains in the land, that tenth is what's called the remnant of the Lord. So not everyone will be will go away from God. There is always someone remaining, and that remnant, it becomes the lineage of Christ, and was that way beforehand and afterward, and is even now. There's too many people in this world to say, no, Lord, I'm not ready, or no, thank you, or just don't even give God the respect to even answer his calling by just being ignorant or too busy. Chapter 7. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was the king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital of Judah. But they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself to Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. So here is the king of Judah now worried that the king of Israel has united with the people of Ephraim. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son Shear-Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Boy, aren't those beautiful words. God said, say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Great lesson for us. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. How many times are we subject to some type of challenge in our lives? how many times do we have an experience that is maybe harmful to our bodies or our feelings or our mind, and we kind of feel sorry for ourselves, or we bend under pressure or break under pressure. And here God says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. What a challenge. Please stand in your faith, and you will stand. God will be behind you. He'll be holding you up. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. In that day, the Lord will whistle for flies from the Nile Delta in Egypt and for the bees from the land of Assyria. They will all come and settle in the steep ravines and in the crevices in the rocks, on all the thorn bushes and all the water holes. In that day, the Lord will use a razor hired from beyond the Euphrates River, the king of Assyria, to shave your head and private parts and to cut off your beard also. In that day, a person will keep alive a young cow and two goats, and because of the abundance of milk they give, there will be curds to eat. All who remain in the land will eat curds and honey. In that day, in every place where there are a thousand vines worth a thousand shekels of silver, there will be only briars and thorns. Hunters will go there with bow and arrow, for the land will be covered with briars and thorns. As for all the hills once cultivated by the hoe, you will no longer go there for fear of the briars and thorns. They will become places where cattle are turned loose and where sheep run. A warning. Chapter 8. The Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with an ordinary pen, Maher Shalal Halashabah. So I called in Uriah the priest and Zechariah son of Jerubbekiah as reliable witnesses for me. Then I made love to the prophetess, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said to me, name him Maher Shalal Halashabah, for before the boy knows how to say, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria will be carried off by the king of Assyria. The Lord spoke to me again, because this people has rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloah, and he rejoices over Rezin and the son of Remaliah, therefore the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty floodwaters of the Euphrates, the king of Assyria with all his pomp. So here God is equating the mighty floodwaters of the Euphrates to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria is going to wipe out and take over that area. It will overflow all its channels, run over all its banks, and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land. Emmanuel. Raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand, for God is with us. This is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of the people. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. He will be a holy place, for both Israel and Judah will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. He's speaking here, of course, of Christ. Christ was a stumbling block for many Jews of Jerusalem and the whole Jewish faith. And these words are, of course, used in the New Testament. In fact, I think there's over 40 or 50 times, between 40 and 50 times, that Isaiah is quoted in the New Testament, the most quoted Old Testament prophet in the New Testament. Bind up this testimony of warning and seal up God's instruction among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. Here am I, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty, who dwells on Mount Zion. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are finished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of this government and peace there will be no end. That is a direct prophecy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that is chapter 9, verse 6. And we pick it up with verse 7. Of the greatness of this government and the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over the king and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The Lord has sent a message against Jacob. It will fall on Israel, and all the people will know it, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say with pride and ignorance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will still rebuild with dressed stones. The fig trees have felled, but we will replace them with cedars. But the Lord has strengthened Rezin's foes against them and has spurred their enemies on. Armenians from the east and Philistines from the west have devoured Israel with open mouth. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. But for the people have not returned to him who struck them, nor have they sought the Lord Almighty. So the Lord will cut off both Israel from the head and tail, both palm branch and reed, in a single day. The elders and dignitaries are the head, and the prophets who teach lies are the tail. Those who guide this people misled them, and those who are guided are led astray. Therefore the Lord will take no pleasure in the young men, nor will he pity the fatherless and widows. For everyone is ungodly and wicked, every mouth speaks folly. Yet for all this his anger is not turned away, his hand is still upheld. So here is Isaiah sharing with his constituency, Judah and Israel, that, hey, wake up. You guys are ignoring God, and this is going to happen. And they continue to ignore him. Verse 18, surely wickedness burns like a fire. It consumes briars and thorns. It sets the forest thickets ablaze so that it rolls upward in a column of smoke. By the wrath of the Lord Almighty, the land will be scorched, and the people will be fuel for the fire. They will not spare one another. On the right they will devour, but still be hungry. On the left they will eat, but they will not be satisfied. Each will feed on the flesh of their own offspring. Manasseh will feed on Ephraim, and Ephraim on Manasseh. Together they will turn against Judah. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Chapter 10. Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees, to deprive the poor of their rights, and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. What will you do on the day of reckoning when disaster comes from afar? To whom will you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? Nothing will remain but to cringe among the captives or fall among the slain. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. God's judgment on Assyria. Woe to the Assyrian, the rod of my anger, in whose hand is the club of my wrath. I sent him against a godless nation. I dispatch him against a people who anger me, to seize loot and snatch plunder, and to trample them down like mud in the streets. But this is not what he intends. This is not what he has in mind. His purpose is to destroy, to put an end to many nations. Are not my commanders all kings, he says? Has not Calno fared like Carchemish? Is not Hamath like Arpad, and Samaria like Damascus? As my hand sees the kingdoms of idols, kingdoms whose images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not deal with Jerusalem and her images as I dealt with Samaria and her idols? When the Lord has finished all his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem, he will say, I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look in his eyes. For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done this, and by my wisdom, because I have understanding, I remove the malice boundaries of nations. I plunder their treasures like a mighty one of subdued their kings. So here's God saying, hey, I'm going to punish this king of Assyria, because this king thinks everything's coming from him, that he has the power, that he himself creates these things. And folks, nothing happens without God. Our lives are because of God. Our death is because of God. And everything in between is because of God. It is all for his glory. Let us never forget that. As one reaches into a nest, so my hand reached for the wealth of other nations. As people gathered abandoned eggs, so I gathered all the countries, not one flapping a wing or opening its mouth to chirp. Does the axe raise itself above the person who swings it, or the saw boast against the one who uses it, as if a rod were to wield the person who lifts it up, or a club brandish the one who is not wood? Therefore the Lord Almighty will send a wasting disease upon his sturdy warriors. Under his pomp, a fire will be kindled like a blazing flame. The light of Israel will become a fire, their Holy One a flame. In a single day it will burn and consume his thorns and his briars, the splendor of his forests and fertile fields. It will completely destroy as when a sick person wastes away. And the remaining trees of his forest will be so few that a child could write them down. Well, we're going to finish there today. We're going to pick up next time on chapter 10, verse 20. We've run out of time. Please be sure to listen next time. We hope that you've enjoyed our program, Reflections. My name is Jim DeGenis, and I'm reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening. May God be with you this day and every day.